Well, many thanks to our choir for that beautiful selection. And Pastor Derek was 100% right. I am going to tell you a Bible story this morning. But before we do that, before we approach God's word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word today. Please help these ancient words to touch us in a new way. Please help us to learn how to be faithful to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to take just a second this morning, just a minute or two before I read our scripture passage today, to sort of reorient us as to where we are in our preaching schedule. If you remember, last fall when we came back together with our three services, we started a preaching series, a sermon series, that we called Living Our Faith. And in that sermon series, Pastor Derek and Mike and I have been highlighting Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. We've been going through what is really a list of who's who in the Old Testament there. We've been preaching about individual people and taking things from their lives of faith and applying them to ours. We heard about famous folks like Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and all of those stalwarts of the faith. So we did that all fall. But once we arrived at Advent, we preachers realized that nobody wants to be in the Old Testament for Christmas, right? We want to talk about the characters of Christmas. And so for the last 7 weeks, we've been doing that. We've been talking about Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and Jesus, of course, and the shepherds. And last week, Pastor Derek talked about the wise men. And so we've been doing that for 7 weeks, and we come today to mid-January, and we're sort of in a little bit of what I'll call a liturgical limbo between now and the end of February, which of course marks the holy season of Lent. So we preachers decided that we're going to go back to Hebrews 11, and we're going to pick up those last few characters that we didn't get to touch on in the fall, and we're going to preach on them individually. Now, you may have noticed, if you remember everybody that we talked about in the fall, you may have noticed that there's not a lot of women on this list, unfortunately. The only woman we really talked about in the fall was Sarah, and of course, she's Abraham's wife, and so you always kind of lump them together, right, Abraham and Sarah. So there's been not too many women mentioned in our sermon series, until today, that is, until today. Today we look at a long-forgotten, often maligned figure of the Old Testament, without whom God's plan of salvation would never have happened. Today we're going to visit with Rahab, a citizen of Jericho, a Canaanite woman, a brave and intelligent woman who helped God's people literally break down the walls and get into the promised land. So to do that, we're going to be reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 16. Now, just to set this up a little bit as to where God's people are, this is after the Exodus from Egypt. This is after they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And now God's people have come upon the cusp, right, the doorstep of the promised land. Moses has died, Joshua has been called to be the leader of God's people, and we see this scene unfold right outside the city of Jericho. Chapter 2 of Joshua, starting in verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, quote, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land," end quote. But the woman, it's Rahab, took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts failed, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God, in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us this land." Then Rahab let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she resided within the wall itself. She said to them, "Go towards the hill country so that the pursuers may not come upon you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days, until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards, you may go on your way." It's the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads one more time. Wow, Lord, we have heard this amazing story from the book of Joshua. It is so exciting, like something we might see in a movie. Help us to take this story into our lives, Lord. Help us to learn from it and understand from it how to be better disciples for you and your son, Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're talking about somebody who literally helped to break down walls in our scriptures. And when I think of somebody who might have done that in the modern era, well, my mind goes to somebody who just passed away at the end of December, but who did that figuratively, broke down walls, I mean, and that is Barbara Walters. I'm sure you heard on the news that Barbara passed away at the end of December, and she was indeed a trailblazer in her career. She began her career in 1961 as a writer on the Today Show on NBC. Of course, she spent many, many years clawing her way up in the very male-dominated business of network news. She had some bit parts on the air, but it wasn't until 1974 that she became a permanent on-air personality when she was paired with Frank McGee on the Today Show. But Frank, well, he was so angry at being paired with a female that he asked the producers to put it in their contracts that he was allowed to ask 3 questions of their interviewees for every 1 question that Barbara asked. She was called Barbara the pushy, Barbara the humorless, Barbara who doesn't know her place. Then in 1976, she shocked everyone by accepting a contract from ABC for a reported $1 million. At ABC News, she shared the evening news desk with Harry Reasoner, who again could not hide his contempt, even on air, for having to share the news desk with a woman. Again, she was called Barbara the Pushy. It's a familiar term she was called. Barbara the single-minded, Barbara the career-driven woman. Some people even refused to watch her. But then she was given her ABC News specials, right? The Barbara Walters specials. We all remember those. And anybody who was anybody was interviewed by her. From Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan, even Monica Lewinsky. And then her star really began to climb. She became a household name. She started to anchor the late-night news program 2020, and her star rose even higher. And then in 1997, she began a show that she always wanted to do, where she gathered a group of people around a table, people who had different viewpoints, and they conversed. They talked about the topics of the day. Of course, that show was called The View. She hosted it for 17 years, and it's still on today. Her star grew so high that she was, at this point, given a star, a literal star, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Barbara the Pushy became Barbara the Tough Newswoman. Barbara the Single-Minded became Barbara the Consummate Professional. Barbara the Career-Driven Woman became Barbara the Successful. Upon her retirement from The View in 2014, dozens upon dozens of television news women showed up on that broadcast to pay their respects to her. From Diane Sawyer to Jane Pauley, Maria Shriver to Katie Couric, you name it, the women were there to pay her respect. They all showed up there to pay her homage because they knew that she was the one who broke through barriers, knocked down walls, if you will, so that they could come in to network news. And at that point, on her retirement, nobody was labeling her with negative comments anymore. Upon her death, December 30th, the tributes poured in. Diane Sawyer commented, "Barbara was a trailblazer, a singular force who opened doors for every woman in television news." And even President Biden tweeted, "Barbara Walters has always been an example of bravery and truth, breaking down barriers while driving our nation forward." It's hard to count, probably impossible to count, how many women, including newswomen here in Pittsburgh, owe her a debt of gratitude for busting down those walls so that others could come through. Now, you may think that no one in our Bibles, certainly no female to mention, can be remembered for breaking down walls so that others could pass through. If you think that way, well, you would be wrong. For there is someone who did just that, and her name is Rahab. She appears in the book of Joshua. I just read you just a part of her exciting story. She appears after, again, the Israelites have come out of Egypt, have wandered in the desert, and as they are coming up to the edge of the promised land, this destination that God has intended for them. But they come up upon Jericho, and they're faced with this wall, right? They were fortified cities in those days, just like Jerusalem was, right? This wall around the city. And God's people, well, they want to get in there, right? They want to get in and do some kind of military reconnaissance mission. But how? Right? How? How are they going to get into that city? Who in the world is going to risk their safety so that a couple of the Israelite spies can get inside? Well, Rahab, that's who. Our scripture passage starts with the Israelite spies coming to Jericho. They come up to the wall, and they see Rahab's house there. And she speaks to them, she talks to them, she answers their questions, and she even lets them in her home. And Rahab was a prostitute, okay? Rahab was a prostitute. Our scriptures tell us this in this chapter of Joshua. I don't have to tell you what that is, right? We all know what that is. It was the same thing in Bible times as it is today, with the same immoral connotations. Now, no husband is mentioned for Rahab in this passage, only her mother and her father, her brothers and her sister. So we can assume that she is doing this, she's in this business, so to speak, to support herself and her family. But she speaks with these spies, she gives them the information that they want, and soon word of what she is doing spreads like wildfire in Jericho, right? Everybody knows what's going on. And when the king hears about what she's doing, he says, uh-uh, this isn't happening. So he sends his guards to arrest these spies, these Israelite spies. But when the guards get to Rahab's home, she risks her life by lying to them. She lies right to their face. She says, oh, they're not here, they're not here. They went that way. They went that away, guys, through the gate, and you better hurry so you can catch them, right? She lies on their behalf. And then she hides these men on the roof of her home, covers them with flax, the scripture tells us. And before she parts from them, she gives this amazing confession to the spies. She says, I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen upon us. She says, we know how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you all came out of Egypt. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. That's quite a confession of faith, right? For a lady who's not even a Jew. Right? For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Quite an amazing confession of faith. And then we see this whole battle culminate in the fall of Jericho, right? A scene that is taught in Sunday school rooms the world over. God's people march around Jericho 7 times and they toot their horns, right? Do-do-do-do. And then just like the old hymn says, and the walls came a-tumbling down. They came a-tumbling down because of Rahab's help given to the spies. God's people take over the city, and as they do, Joshua, their commander, he lives up to the promise made to Rahab. He says, Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live because she hid the messengers that we sent. So Rahab's family survive. Her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, they all survive, and scripture even tells us that they then go and live with God's people, right? An amazing story of bravery and courage on her part. But here's the rub. You know there's going to be a rub, right? Here's the rub. Unfortunately, Rahab has what I'll call an image problem. Despite her faith, despite her courage, despite her bravery, despite her ability to knock down walls for the Israelites to get through, Rahab never quite lives down that label of being a prostitute. She's never able to fully leave her past behind. Well, how do I know this? Well, let's look at the scriptures. Rahab is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. First, of course, is Hebrews 11 that we've been following in our sermon series. Hebrews 11, written roughly 1,000 years after Rahab helped the Israelite spies. But in Hebrews 11, she is referred to as Rahab, the prostitute. In the letter from James, chapter 2, verse 25, we hear the same label. It says, "Was not Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did?" Why? Right? Why? Why isn't she allowed to rise above her former life, her former label, and be called Rahab the clever, Rahab the brave, Rahab the intelligent, Rahab the faithful? The others in Hebrews 11, all of those other stalwarts by name, well, they're not labeled as such. Moses, Abraham, David, all of these people who stepped out in faith for God are not saddled with those kind of labels. Why don't we see Moses, the murderer, stepped out in faith, right? Moses killed somebody. It's there in the scripture. Why don't we see Abraham, the horrible? For Abraham, scripture tells us that Abraham kicked out one of his wives and children into the wilderness. Or David, the adulterer. Well, we all know he committed adultery with another man's wife and then had him killed. It's Uriah the Hittite. Rahab is the only person in Hebrews 11 to be saddled with this negative label, right? One has to wonder why. Thankfully, in Matthew chapter 1, the third time that she's mentioned, when we see that list that Matthew provides us of the genealogy of Jesus, right, all those people who helped to bring us the Messiah, we see Rahab listed there without the label. She's listed as Solomon's wife and Boaz's mother, right? Finally, she's listed on her own. Finally, a glimmer of her new life in Christ, her new life as part of God's people. For in Christ, we are all allowed to rise above our past, rise above anything we've ever done, and into God's redemptive light. We're all called to be part of God's plan of salvation, God's building of his kingdom, a plan that extends to all who accept Christ's offer of grace. We are people of forgiveness. We are people of the cross. We are born of the resurrection. We are not people of cancel culture. Paul says so beautifully, we use it for our assurance of pardon frequently. He says, anyone who is in Christ is a brand new creation. Even Rahab, even you, even me. We all have something in our past that we're not proud of, right? Something that we've done that we wish we could turn the page on and move beyond. And Christ gives us that opportunity each new day. Barbara Walters, that I started this sermon with, well, she was able to move beyond those labels. Pushy, they called her a lot of the time. Pushy, right? Humorless. She was able to move beyond those labels and become one of the most famous news personalities ever. She was one who broke down walls for others to walk through. That was her legacy. That was Rahab's legacy as well. And it is the legacy of all of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and who join in with his wonderful kingdom-building work. Friends, whatever baggage you carry around with you, whether they're labels others give you or labels you give yourself, it falls away in the light of the cross, and we become new people. We become Derek, the inspirational teacher, right? We become Anna, the wonderful singer who inspires others in worship. This is how God sees us, right? Not with those old labels, those old monikers. This is how God sees each and every one of us as our best, living the life that God created us to be with our best qualities shining through. The lesson of Rahab for us today, well, she teaches us to leave those old labels behind and accept this new life in Christ and walk into it in a brand new day. Praise be to God, who makes all of us new. Amen.